And again tonight, we're glad to have Evangelist Mays Jackson from Atlanta, Georgia, to preach again for us. Appreciate Brother Mays. God bless you, Brother Mays. You come.
God bless you, dear Pastor. All right. How aren't you glad you're going to heaven tonight?
Yeah.
Amen. I asked Tori, I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to heaven. I said, I hope you don't go today. Say amen. Stick around a little while longer. But it is good to know we're on our way to heaven if we're saved and born again. And if we know the Lord and God's real, we're enjoying the blessings of the Lord. And I'm like the preacher, brother, at this good Saturday night crowd. Of course, six drops of rain will keep 19 Baptists at home. Say amen. But we're glad that you're here tonight. And I appreciate the singing tonight. I hadn't heard that. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there in a long time. That's a good song. I like that. I used to have a fellow that used to lead singing for me, and he got it mixed up. He'd sing, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And I thought, Lord, have mercy, that's terrible. Not there, but up there when the roll is called. And so it's good to see you tonight. And I trust God's already blessed you. I tell you, I've been blessed all day today. Showers on the outside, showers on the inside. And we can just praise his wonderful name. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Joel. The little book of Joel, J-O-E-L, and it's between Hosea and Amos. Chapter 3, I want you to turn, and we'll read there in just a moment. And I'm going to bring you a message on the road to Armageddon. I'm going to speak to you tonight about where we are. How near is the coming of the Lord? What are some of the conditions that we're facing? What is the message that God gives us in these days? Well, the message hadn't changed. It's still the blood. I'll tell you, the message, the book hadn't changed. And we stand on the Bible. Now, let me say, in the morning, we'll be in the contest here. I think we've got about four more Sundays or three more after tomorrow. And so we want you to call when you get home tonight, if it's not too late. If it's too late, call in the morning. Say, be sure to be in Sunday school. I'd like for us to break a record in the morning for the contest, and so I hope you'll be busy, and then I'll be speaking to the church at 11, and then we'll go out, and we'll be coming back tomorrow afternoon for the rally service, and I'm going to be speaking on headlines from prophecy that you'll soon read about. Now, a lot of people had never dreamed that in two short years, they'd read headlines like we've been reading over in old Persia, which is Iraq, Iran. Did you know the Garden of Eden was over there between those rivers? You never heard of the Euphrates River, really, in years until this war came up. And everything's beginning to fall in place. But you'll be here tomorrow afternoon, 2:30, and I believe God will bless you. And we'll see what the Lord says. Are you glad you came tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Smile, you know. You say, I don't feel like smiling. Look at your wife and you'll laugh out loud. Say amen. All right. If you need to do that, praise the Lord and have a good time in the Lord. So I appreciate it. Let's everybody stand all over the house for the reverence and the reading of the Word of God. Let me say again, I enjoyed the good singing all week. Gary's done a great job. I appreciate it. I tell you, I'm glad. And there is going to be a homecoming day. There is going to be a time when the saints of God are going to gather around the throne at Jesus' feet. And there's where we're going to meet, because he shall receive all glory, praise, and honor. Thank God. We'll sing, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. What a blessing. Look in the book of Joel. Now, I look down about verse 9 and I'll begin reading in just a few moments, but let me say something. Look this way just a moment. For years, I didn't know where to place this in prophecy. For years, I studied this and didn't know where to place it. But when I begin to read it, you're going to see that things are being to shape up. So look with me in verse 9. If you have your Bible open, chapter 3, the book of Joel. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare for war. Wake the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up, beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about, and thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Now let me stop there just a moment and look this way. The valley of Jehoshaphat is the valley of Megiddo. You find that in the 16th chapter of the book of the Revelation. There is where they'll gather when they have the great battle called the Battle of Armageddon. Now, I'll be speaking on some of that tomorrow afternoon. There are some battles that's going to take place. And I tell you, that battle will be the battle of battles. The blood will be to the bridle of the horse's bit. I never will forget the first time I stood in the valley of Jehoshaphat, or the valley of Megiddo. I looked through that big valley, and I thought about one day from the north they'll come. And the Bible says, and they will proclaim war. And with his word, he'll defeat his enemies. You were here last night, and I told you what I thought he was going to say. Now look at this about Jehoshaphat, if you will. Let's look back at verse 12. I stopped in the middle. Let the heathen be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come get you down, for the press is full and the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Now, here's the text tonight. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And in a moment, I'll bring you the message on the road to Armageddon. But before we pray, before you bow your head, let me say something before you sit down. We are on the way to Armageddon. I think it's probably years away. I'm not sure, but I know one thing, the coming of Jesus is nigh. That's the rapture. That's the rapture. Now, these other things will take place after we're gone. You know, I believe the church will be caught out before the tribulation. But after the tribulation, we'll be back. Amen? We'll be back, and we'll rule and reign with him 1,000 years, called the millennium. And that's going to be a time. Well, there'll be no poor folks. Everybody will have his own fig tree. Say amen right there. I like that. And the Bible says if you get a little sick, just reach up and get you a BC. That'll be a leaf and bite it. You won't have to go to the drugstore. Say amen. And the scripture said the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Wouldn't you love to live in a world where it's filled with the knowledge of the Lord? That's what's going to happen. But I'm going to bring you the message tonight on the warm-up. What we saw last year or this year, January the 6th, what we have seen in the last 2 years, they're warming up, getting ready, and the whole world is beginning to look over there to Jehoshaphat and to Armageddon. Would you be seated all over the house, beloved? Would you bow your head for just a word of prayer? We're going to pray, and then I'm going to bring the message. Father, I want to thank you tonight for every blessing of this meeting. Oh, what a blessing it is to come open up the word after we sing, after we rejoice that we're saved and redeemed and on our way to heaven. What a blessing it is to come and to worship thee. And I pray tonight that our minds will be drawn in, that our souls will be open to the message of the Lord. Thank you now for what you're going to do for us. I thank you for every blessing. I thank you for all that you have done. And Lord, if there's someone here lost, someone that's without Jesus, someone that's standing near eternity without God, make this the night when the Holy Spirit shall quicken that heart. And make this the night when that Christian will draw nigh unto thee and will praise you, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want you to look this way. And for a few moments, I'm going to speak to you on the road to Armageddon. There's something majestic about that word Armageddon. When I was a little boy, they talked to me about that great battle. And they said, it'll come over the world. And brother, I didn't know anything about that battle. But it'll be against God. Psalm 2 says, and the king shall rise up against God to pull him off of his throne. The Bible said in the book of the Revelation that the Antichrist and the false prophets and Satan shall deceive the kings of the earth and take them up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. But I had so many telephone calls and I had so many letters. Hey, Brother Mays, when Mr. Bush sent the troops over, is that the beginning of Armageddon? I said, no, it's the warm-up. It's to get our minds focused over there. And by way of introduction, let me give you something about the time that we're in, about things that are going on, the three M's. First of all, we need to know about the Middle East. The Middle East is a battleground between two seeds. The seed of Ishmael, because of the sin of Abraham. Mister, this world has been in battle in the Middle East. That's the reason you have the Palestinian and the Jewish conflict. I've stood over there on the West Bank many times, looked down over Jerusalem and thought, oh my. They're fighting over this thing of the West Bank. Now, I'm going to tell you why the Middle East is in an uproar because of the two seeds. Number one, they're jealous. That's all I'll be able to talk about. They're jealous of Israel. Did you know the whole world is jealous of Israel? The whole world is going to hate Israel. Every nation will rise against Israel. And it's for three reasons. God gave Israel three things. First, God gave her a land. God said to Abraham, I give you this land forever. The UN has no right to take it away from the seed of Isaac. The UN has no right to give the West Bank away. God said, I can give you a land. Did you know God did not give any other nation a land? But he did Israel. Secondly, God gave Israel a law. The law was not given to the church. The law was given to Israel. But the third reason they hate, the Lord gave not only the law and not only a land, but the Lord gave the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad the Bible said he came to his own. His own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them he gave power. That's the Gentile. That's the church, mister. When Israel turned him down. I hate that Israel turned him down, but I'm so glad he included me. When he said, if you believe, you shall be saved. Brother, I'm part of the bride. I'm glad I'm in the church. I'm not talking about just the visible. I'm in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm part of him. And what a blessing to be in the bride. But here is the Middle East. Remember, there's a war of two seeds over there. Number two, there's a madman that we should have gotten rid of. And his name is Saddam Hussein. In 5 years, if we don't put him down now, he'll be back up again. If you'll turn to Genesis chapter 16, the Bible says that he is a wild man of Ishmael. A wild man. And I tell you, he is a brute. Bible said in the book of Jude that there would be brute beast. And Saddam Hussein is a brute beast. Take little children. I heard this just this week. He was speaking to a mother and a dad that had rebelled against them. They had the little baby in their arms, and he took that baby out of their arms, went up in a helicopter, and dropped that baby down in front of that mother and dad there on the ground from hundreds of feet in the air. Oh, they screamed. And he said, that's what people get when they rebel against me. Well, let me just give you a couple of things, or one thing, maybe about Saddam Hussein. He thinks he's Nebuchadnezzar. And if you read Daniel chapter 2, you'll read about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was head of the Babylonian Empire. The greatest was the head of gold in prophecy. In the great image there. Now watch this something. Nebuchadnezzar was the ruler of Babylon. Now Babylon's to rise, that's Iraq. And Revelation says she'll become there in the Persian Gulf a great city of wealth and of great people. Did you know that Saddam Hussein's got billions of dollars around the world, and we're afraid to touch that money? We're afraid to touch him. I tell you, Brister, that's sad. I thought more of Bush than that. Say amen. I like that old general Bert said, I'll get him while we're over here. Say amen. But you say, Preacher Mace, what happened? We listen to public opinion. We're afraid of the liberals of this country, that they'll rise up against us. Let me tell you something. We need people to stand, mister, in the political field, in the field of religion, if you want to call it that. We need somebody to stand for God and for truth and the Bible. But here's Nebuchadnezzar reincarnate. He said he rode a white horse down at Baghdad back before the war. He said, I am Nebuchadnezzar. I started to write him a letter and say, you know how Nebuchadnezzar died? And you know what God did to Nebuchadnezzar before he let him die? He took his heart out and put a heart of a beast in him, sent him out in the field for 7 years, and the dew fell on him every morning. And the Bible said while he was out there, his hair turned to feathers. He looked like a woman with a Tony home permanent. Say amen. Out there. Yes, sir, that's what the book said. He was out there. And he had fingernails like bird claws. Now, who would want to be reincarnated like that? The old Saddam needs to read his Bible and see what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Did you know in that same chapter 2 of the book of Daniel, it said God puts them up and God takes them off? Oh, I want you to know God's still running this thing. I'm glad, praise the Lord, God's still on the throne. But there's the Middle East, there's the madman. Now, quickly, in the introduction, and I'll not preach long on the other things. There's the message that I'm to preach now. There's the message this church is to proclaim. It never has changed. We're to preach there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. We're to proclaim the message as John did. Prepare for the coming of the Lord. Mister, this book said, be ye also ready. If Jesus were to come, would you be ready? So there's the message. I'm glad God reached down as a little mountain boy and picked me up and gave me a message. And he said, Mace, I want you to preach my message. It's the sweetest message I've ever heard. It's a message from heaven. It's God's message. It's an everlasting message. But you say, Preacher, what about this day on the road to Armageddon? While we're waiting, Iraq and Kuwait, it's all over now. Oh, it's not over. We just thought it was over. That war's not over, and you wait later and you'll see it's not over. But let me give you five things real quickly. I believe where we stand. First of all, we're in a state of confusion. Brother, this world's confused tonight. This book says if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself to battle? It's awful to be confused. Why, they don't have the answer. Listen, Germany with this unification doesn't have the answer. Russia doesn't have the answer. America doesn't have the answer. Boy, we're confused. But I'm glad this book has the answer. Praise God, if we'd turn again to the message of God. Listen to me, we would not be confused. It's sad today, many of our churches are confused. Oh, they say they don't know whether they believe the miracles or not. They say they don't believe the second coming of the Lord. Oh, they don't believe in biblical separation. They don't believe in taking a stand against the enemies of Christ. And there's confusion everywhere. But I'm glad old Paul said, I know. He said, I'm not confused. Bless God, I know whom I believe and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Confusion, it's a terrible thing. Now you read in the Bible, Israel's greatest battle was down in Shiloh. And it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 4, and she is confused. Did you know that 34,000 men died one day because of that confusion? You read in that, and the Bible said they lost their joy, and the Bible said they lost the battle, And the Bible said they lost the glory. And Ichabod was written over them. But if you'll turn to Judges chapter 7, boy, they wasn't confused. God said to that little fellow called Gideon, I'm going to run those Mennonites plumb out of the country. And he did, because they went by the instructions of God Almighty. Now, that's to a nation. But let me say something. God has some instructions about your life. God has some instructions about my life. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in the place. I want to be doing just what God would have me to do. Now, I'm going to say something tonight. Nobody never understands this. My wife don't understand it. But if I could go back 68 years and come into this world again, I wouldn't change a thing. I want to be just like it. Everything. Every heartache. Every burden. I tell you, it was hard when he was going, but oh, he had a plan. Listen to me. I have no complaints, folks. I want you to know I'm not confused about this thing. I'm standing on the solid rock, praise the Lord. I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. And mister, what a blessing it is to know that you're not confused. And the boy, that church at Corinth, I tell you, I tried to teach that one. I remember teaching that book, and oh, it was terrible. It was terrible. They were so confused about everything. They was confused about preachers. One said, I like Paul. One said, I like Cephas. Another said, I'll tell you, I like shouting. Another said, I don't want no shouting. That's a beast. They're confused. They're confused about everything. In the church at Corinth, they're confused about miracles and tongues and all of these things. But, mister, in this day in which we live, you hear me, as we are on our road to Armageddon, the warm-up for the end. It's just a warm-up, but there's confusion. Number two, there's compromise. That's a sad thing, mister. You never get anywhere compromising. My daddy used to tell me, he said, Mays, don't compromise an inch. If you do, you'll compromise a foot. And if you compromise a foot, you'll compromise a yard. And if you compromise a yard, you'll compromise a mile. And then you get to the place where there's nothing but compromise. Boy, I'm glad tonight. I've never denied this book, and I've never compromised this book. I'm glad, praise God, I believe it, and I stand for it. And I'm going to try to preach the blessed word of God without fear or without compromise. Somebody said, yeah, but you'd go a lot farther. Well, heaven's where I'm getting off. How far are you going? Say amen. Amen. I'm not going in front of heaven, brother. I'm going to get off there. Amen. Compromise. Let me show you in the Bible the biggest compromise. Exodus 8 and 9. You know what the Bible said? And Moses went before Pharaoh, and he scared him to death. I mean, Moses stuttered around, and God said, stop that stutter. And go down there and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And when he got down there in the 8th and 9th chapter of Exodus, there were four big compromises. And if the Lord can get this nation here and get this church here and get this preacher here to compromise on these four things, first of all, he said, worship God in Egypt. Put your altar by the altars of Baal. Listen, you can't worship God that way. He said, we'll not do it. I like that. I'm not going to put the altars of God near the altars of Baal. You cannot mix it. And he would not compromise with. Secondly, he said, but don't get too serious. Don't be too strong about this thing. Oh, don't be too strong. He said, just don't go too far with it. And I'll tell you, boy, we're so afraid that we will get a little away from the world and get far out until it scares us to death. I want to tell you, mister, he said, I will. I'm going on. He said, well, if you're going on, leave your children. Isn't that pitiful that we let the devil have our children? I want you to know I have three sons, and I didn't keep my word. I told God before the first one was born, I said, give me three sons. I'll name them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Say amen right there. People used to come up to me and say, how's Meshach doing? Amen. They would. They'd come up to me and ask me, well, how's Abednego? I said, doing fine, doing fine. And I remember, boy, I said to my wife, I love some preachers, but I don't want preachers to lead my boys to Jesus. I want to lead my voice to Christ. But I didn't lead my voice to Jesus. I was away from home preaching to your children and other children. My wife led each one of them to the Lord. I remember one night I came in when we lived in Greenville. I'd been in a meeting, and she said, Lowell's in there was crying. You need to speak to him before you go to bed. And I went in there, got out by him, put my hand over on his little hand. He said, Daddy, while you was gone, Mama got me out of bed, and I got saved. Well, I said, praise God. Why couldn't you get saved while I was here? Amen. Well, but a few weeks later, I came in, and my wife said, Nolan, she's crying. You better go talk to him. I went in, and I said, who licked the red off of your candy? He said, while you was gone, Mama got me out of bed, and I got saved, Daddy. And boy, 2 weeks before Christmas, that year, old Dale was real small. He knocked on the door of the little office I had in the house. I said, come in, Dale. He said, I want to give you a Christmas present. Oh, I said, no. No, 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 I don't want it now. It's just a couple of weeks. He said, while you was gone, he said, Mama led me to Jesus. And I grabbed him and I started praising the Lord. My wife said, what are y'all doing in there in that office? I said, bless God, you may be able to lead him to Jesus, but I'm going to baptize him. Praise the Lord. I said, the joy of knowing that my children were saved. Listen, the devil's out after our young people, and the devil's out after the children. The Catholic Church says, give me a child till he's 6 years old, and he'll remain in Catholicism. If that's so with what they have, oh, how much more we have. We ought to say, give us a child till he's two, and bless God, he'll never turn back. Oh, the compromise. But here's the fourth compromise. Said, leave your cattle. Leave your pocketbook. Boy, you get talking about the pocketbook. You talk about people looking cross-eyed at you. They will. And the wife will punch your husband. Well, I want to tell you something. You have never learned the blessing of giving till it's a blessing to give. Oh, till you just say, praise the Lord. I wished I had more that I could give. Well, I'm telling you, it's a blessing to give. You can't outgive God. I remember one time, like tomorrow afternoon, I was in Athens, Georgia, Dr. Virgil Edwards in the meeting, and he wanted me to raise money for steel chairs. Now I got up and I said, now folks, if you don't give several chairs or at least one chair, you'll have a flat tire before you get home. And I had my wife and three boys, and we got in the car after the service, and I started to Atlanta, about a mile out of town, out of Athens, Georgia. My front tire said, pshhh. My wife said, what are you going to do? I said, oh, I can change it. Took spare, and I got to spare almost that last lug. I mean, the last lug was about tight. The window rolled down, and my baby boy said, did you give a chair? I said, get up there and hush your mouth, bless God. I said, hard enough, bless God, for me to have to fix his tire. Oh, but listen to me. I'll tell you, when you say, Lord, it all belongs to thee. It all belongs to thee. What a blessing. And I'll tell you, when you start compromising with these issues, listen, God cannot bless, and we're facing an international compromise, a national compromise. We're facing a local compromise. We're facing compromise in our homes. Now, I want to tell you something, you might not have been this way, but my baby boy got by with a lot more than my oldest boy. Now, you say, well, mine did. You know, you kind of get tender and soft after a while. I mean, you let that baby do more. Now, you hear me? That old baby, he'll get by with a lot more because there's just something about him. And I wasn't a baby boy. Man, I always got to lick him. My brother, he said, I want a corner and pow. Because, he didn't get, rewarded. And there I was getting a licking. But let me say this to you. Oh, as sure as you hear, the devil's out to get your children. And the devil's out for you to compromise in your home and compromise in your church. I hope if this church ever compromises, God will close that door out somewhere. Oh, hear me. Compromise, number three. Write this down. Not only is there confusion, not only is there compromise. Number three, there's a cry for peace at any price. I don't believe that. Mister, you can't have peace at any price. And I'm glad spiritually, though, through the Lord Jesus coming down from heaven, I've got a deep settled peace tonight. I can go to sleep. Thank God. I'll tell you. I'm going to score some of y'all beat me. You sleep in church. I can't sleep in church, but you sleep in church. You can have no fellow. This is back 40-something years ago. We used to build fires. Do you remember up here in East Tennessee, and you built the fire? And then at night, you'd put some red hot coals there in the old fireplace and cover it up, you know, with ashes. Get up the next morning, come down, get your pine knot, and start a fire. I had an old fellow in my church named Early Giger. And Early, oh, Miss Knight, Giger is a German name. If you got money, it's Geiger. All of the Gigers I had, there were four, so maybe there's Gigers. But I will forget old Early. He'd go to sleep, he had some kind of blood in his ears. And we was having a big homecoming one time, he had all his folks there. Man, he was just asleep. And his wife's named Nellie. And I was just preaching away, and I looked at old Early. He's asleep, and I just stopped, and I said, Brother Early, he's in prayer. Boys upset that church. I said, Brother Early, would you lead us in prayer? Why, you couldn't hear me, you're sleeping. Nellie said, Early! And he jumped up and said, I built a fire this morning, you build one tomorrow morning. Amen! Hear me! Yes, sir. But never should we do that thing, mister. Oh, listen to me. But peace. I'll tell you, there will be peace. And it will. There will be no peace. And this new world order thing that Bush has is not worth the paper that it's written on. The new world that Kennedy wanted and Johnson wanted and all the rest of them, they will not have peace until the Prince of Peace of Glory comes back, sits on David's throne, and there will be peace over this world, and we'll learn war no more. And brother, what a blessing. Now, you know something, man, I don't watch television much, and I don't care how much you watch it. You don't pray if you watch it. If you stick your nose in the television all the time, brother, you don't read your Bible. I mean, if you watch that TV, you're just not gonna. But I sit in motels, and I'll tell you something, bless me. This would bless my wife. Boy, when them old soldiers started coming back, those airplanes would pull up there, and those soldiers get off, and those flags are flying, and those mothers and wives running, little children grabbing daddy. If you got off, boy, I'll tell you, that stirred me. I said, Lord, if it's any better when we pull up yonder in heaven, thank God they opened the door of the plane of glory. I'll tell you, that blessed me seeing those boys come back, those men that came back. It stirred me, and I said, Lord, that we have peace, supposedly, because those men were willing to go and present their lives for our country. Boy, I'll tell you, I always did believe in the flag. But God, I don't go by burning that flag either. May not mean much to you, but it means a lot to me. Boy, it means boys have died, fine young men, to give me the privilege to come here and worship God. And I tell you, I appreciate our country. I appreciate the flag, and I appreciate that we're not perfect, but we're the best country that this world's ever had the sun to shine on. Amen. Of course, you folks from Tennessee think Tennessee's the best place. I'm from North Carolina. Did you ever see a North Carolinian wasn't proud? Every time you meet a preacher from North Carolina, he's the best preacher in the world. He'll tell you that. You don't have to. He'll tell you that. Look at old Bill Pendleton. You remember all them guys from North Carolina. And did you, every one of them will tell you, yes, sir, brother, we're from North Carolina. My wife's from South Carolina. I used to kid her, and I said, when you was a little girl, you used to sing a little bit north of South Carolina. Say amen right there. She said, I didn't even know you. I said, I know you didn't know me, but God knew that one day, and I believe this, that one day that you'd be my bride. And she said, don't blame this on God. Say amen. Amen. But oh, listen to me, that peace that's going to come in this world, that's going to be wonderful. A peace. Now look, let's put something else down. There is going to be a crippling of the world economy. And listen, Israel's broke. First time, I mean, Israel is in bad shape financially. And you wait till next year, and the the Common Market over there. Listen to me. They met in Atlanta 2 years ago. Year ago, and they said, we'll strangle the world. You'll either buy through the 10-nation kingdom that Nebuchadnezzar saw through Daniel, or you won't buy. Japan will be left out. Listen to me. It's going to be bad because there will be 10 kingdoms. And the Bible said these 10 kingdoms are going to control the world. They will. There's only one nation on earth that's beginning to prosper. That's Germany. And I know some of you clapped your hands with the unified and I cried. Germany is going to turn with Russia, and Germany is going to come down on little Israel. Put it down. Read Ezekiel 38 and 39. But economically, there's going to come a day when your money, well, it's not worth much now. Man, we used to have them big dollars. Do you remember that, Brother Payton, had them big dollars? Then they keep getting little, smaller and smaller every year. I mean, they don't buy very much today. But you get everyone you can to say amen, because I don't care how small they are. But one day, listen, the Bible said in James 5, and we'll weep. Oh, well, how? Because our money is corrupted. It's worthless. I remember when I was staying in Israel one day, and I walked down, and I wanted to commend the manager of this hotel about the good food. Now, when you go to Israel, you know, food's terrible. Man, if you're going to lose weight, wait till you go to Israel. You'll naturally lose it. It's cooked everything that old. Oh, it's terrible. But I went to, boy, he cooked for us good. And I went to the manager. He's counting his money one morning. I said, hey, how you doing? He said, hey, Brother Mays. I said, glad to see you. He said, glad you brought your people over here again to Israel. And I said, what are you going to do with all that money? He shocked me. This is what he said. He said, one morning I'm going to come down and take all the money here and throw it out in the streets. It'll be worthless. He said, do you believe that, Mr. Jackson? I said, yes, I do, because this book teaches the crippling of world economy. Have you ever heard of a war and a recession at the same time? I never heard of it. If you have, let me know. And brother, we've got a recession, and we've had war, and we're still in it, really. But you hear me? This thing's gonna make it bad. The lady said to me in Atlanta, I was preaching on a coming famine, and she said, Brother Mays, what if there's only one cracker left in Atlanta? I said, lady, I'll be on one end of it. Say amen. Bless God. God's gonna take care of his children. Amen. But we need to see this, and God will supply the need of the Christian, and God will supply the need of the church, and God's going to take care of his work. I don't know if there'll be a crippling, you know, but there will be the cry of the rapture. I believe this thing said, get ready. The rapture's just around. I don't know how soon, but the Bible tells us that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. I like that. He's not going to send Moses back. He's not going to send Elijah back. The Lord himself, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, shall descend from heaven with a shout. That'll scare you half to death right there. First thing the Lord's going to do, shout when he comes back. See, I didn't know that. Read it. And the voice of an archangel and the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Boy, that's going to be a blessing. I see one of my friends here that brought up with me. He knew me when, bless God, I was a little boy. He knew me and walking, and he always comes here to preach, and I appreciate that. But I want to tell you something. I put some sweet Christians out yonder in that old red clay, and I've had to turn away and walk away and say, I'll meet you in the morning by the bright riverside, and we'll sit down by the river, and we'll renew. Oh, I'll tell you, the dead in Christ. One fella said, I'll tell you what. He said, my church will be the first in the rapture. I said, why? He said, the Bible said the dead in Christ first, and mine's dead. So they're bound to come up first. But do you hear me? The Bible said, then we that are alive. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Live. Now, I heard this, and I'll not call his name, but they say a certain preacher the other day got on a certain airplane. And Senator Tower was on that plane. He was leaving Atlanta for Brunswick, Georgia. And that preacher's wife said, open that door. He closed it, but I got to get off. And the preacher thought she was smothering. And he followed her off of that plane. And they got off of the plane that fell, and 18 people or 19 people were killed. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've never had anything like that to happen. But I want to tell you, before I get on those airplanes, even tomorrow, and I fly all the time, you know. Man, I say, Lord, if it's a Jonah getting on here, let me catch the next one. Say amen. Amen. I'm not afraid of myself, but maybe a Jonah getting on that. And did you know the scripture teaches that the Lord's coming back, and those that are alive in Christ shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Did you know there'll not be a crippled man in the rapture? Did you know there'll not be a blind man in the rapture? Did you know there'll not be, listen, a person that has cancer go up in the rapture? Boy, we'll have a new body. Praise God. You talk about a time when the Lord comes back. We'll have a new body. That's going to be wonderful. I had a lady the other day. I wish I could preach it to you. Maybe I can sometime. Six things in 1 Corinthians 15 about that new body. Boy, it'll amaze you. There's six things about that new body that we're going to have when the Lord comes in the rapture and receives us up. But listen to me. That's going to be a happy time. That's going to be a glorious time. Everything's going to be changed for us. But for those that are here tonight, and you're left behind, did you ever think about what's going to happen? Do you ever think about if you're not saved and born again? What are you going to do when you wake up and mother's gone and daddy's gone? What are you going to do when you wake up and that little girl's gone? What are you going to do when you wake up and that little boy's gone and you've missed the rapture? I used to go to Macon, Georgia all the time. And out of from Macon is a place called Milledgeville. And in Milledgeville, they have what they call the mental hospital. I believe here over in Virginia, the word Marion. I used to hold revivals in Marion and Chilhowie every year. And they'd say, don't you want to go up to the mental hospital? I'd say, no, they may keep me, and I ain't going to take no chances. And bless God, I'm not going to visit that mental hospital. But there are a lot of people in mental hospitals that are not what we call insane, demon-possessed, like some people claim. There are a lot of people in those hospitals that have just bad nerves. They have a nerve problem. And they put them in there. And I remember in Columbia one time I was pastoring a church, and they called me and he said, we'd like to have revival. And we'd like for you to preach and the Methodist preacher to preach. Well, I didn't like that. I thought, I don't know who that Methodist is. But they asked me, and I went down there. And that Methodist preacher preached first, and I preached second. And I had 5 days. And those came in the auditorium that were just nervous. And they enjoyed it. In fact, they enjoyed it so good. After the thing was over Friday morning, I stand over in the corner and several of them came down and said, we like you better than we do that Methodist preacher. I said, you do? They said, yeah, you act like one of us around here. That's the reason we, hey, man. I thought they were bragging on me because they thought I was crazy. And I was lucky to get out of that place. But let me say this to you. I was down at Milledgeville. That's where the hospital is for Georgia. Brother Wisey Gordon, my good friend, said, I want you to see a man that thinks he missed the rapture. I said, well, wait, what did you say, Brother Gordy? He said, I want you to see a man that thinks he missed the rapture. So we went back through several buildings. Milledgeville, Georgia, there's the mental hospital. We came to a cell. Padlocked, and he's in there by I walked over to the bars, and I said, how do you do, sir? He ran up with all the eyes, just looked a hole through me, and he said, they're gone. They're gone. And the young intern there, and Brother Gordy was there. I said, who's gone? He said, mother's gone and left me. Daddy's gone and left me. And that young intern said, that's why he he believes that the Lord came. Now, that intern didn't know how to say rapture. He just said he believed the Lord. The man thought the Lord had come and taken his mother to heaven, taken his daddy to heaven, and he is left here all alone. Finally, they had to bring him down from the other side of